Hey, this is Ruth Ellen, and you're listening to The Point in Choice.
Welcome to The Point Podcast with your boys, Afo and Mike. Wagwan.
Wagwan.
We're missing Enoch today.
He ditched us today.
Yeah, Enoch has ditched us, so it's literally the Afo and Mike show.
Okay.
But it's all good, we don't need him. And we are here with a very, very special guest, Miss Ruth Ellen.
Hello.
How are you doing, Ruth?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Round of applause. I'm good, thank you. It's nice to see you, Ruth.
Nice to see you
it's
too,
been
Mike.
About, what, a year and a bit?
Maybe 2 years.
2 years?
I think so.
Crazy.
Yeah.
2 years. Listen, life is flashing before our eyes. I met Ruth. How did we meet Ruth? We met through Sam Cole.
Sam Cole, yeah.
Who was doing some work in the studio.
Yeah.
And he invited me down to come and hear what he was doing. And he invited you down to come and
hear what you were doing.
What I ended up doing.
Is that the day you guys forgot about me?
Mad. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
They forgot about
me. Yeah, I was supposed to bring you as well.
Yeah, you forgot about me.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry. Literally, I was sitting in the studio and then Sam was like, oh, Michael, do you sing? And I was like, a little bit. And he was like, right, get up and just do something. It was just really weird.
You were good, man.
Small.
Oh,
Michael should sing more.
You should.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Anyway, it's not about me. It's about Ruth. So, Ruth, So I haven't seen you since then, but I've been following you on social media, seeing all the stuff that you're doing. You're doing a lot of music, you're pushing yourself.
Mm.
Recently released your EP,
yes.
Which is fantastic, but we'll get Thank into all you. Of that. But before we start, tell us a bit about Ruth Ellen.
Okay, so I am a singer-songwriter from South London.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, done though. I don't know why I always get my
gun fingers out with South London, didn't it?
I guess soul is what I sing. I have heavy influences from gospel, neo-soul, bit of jazz. I recently just released my second LP.
What's the track number? How many tracks do you have to have for it to be a LP, EP?
There's no right or wrong.
Yeah,
like,
I hear that.
My first project was an EP, so I just thought, okay, let's show some progression, whatever that means. And so I thought, yeah, LP. I didn't want it to be an album yet because there's certain things I wanted for an album that I don't have at the moment.
Okay.
So, yeah, LP.
Cool. Nice. And when did you first start making music?
Okay.
When did you realise, right, I can sing, you know?
Well, when I first realised I could sing, I grew up singing in church, grew up singing in my shower, like, literally.
Like us all,
don't we all?
And I remember going to school and always just being a part of the choirs from, like, primary school, secondary school, and then I often struggled with confidence issues, so I didn't really pursue it as a thing. I didn't even realise that you could do music full time, to be honest, until I went to uni 6 years ago, I think. And there were just some people that was doing music full time, and they did open mic nights and stuff, so I just got involved with doing stuff like that, and then met with a guitarist there, and then we started making music. So that was maybe 5 years ago.
Were you studying music at uni?
No, I was studying, my first year I did fashion graphics.
Okay.
Which is so random. And then I wanted to be a graphic designer at one point in my life. Yeah. And then I did marketing with advertising management.
Okay, so you stopped, like, what?
Stopped
after a year, like, or
after
2 years?
After a year. And then for my second and third year, I basically transferred to finish my degree in marketing with advertising management. That was cool. It was fun.
And then literally was just getting involved with guys that were doing
music,
open mics and stuff.
Yeah. One thing led to another. I did a lot of touring, doing backing vocals for people.
Okay.
And that's how I learned a lot of things. I think it's good to kind of do that and kind of learn from other people in the background. And so when it's your shot,
time to come through.
Yeah, you kind of seen the mistakes happen, you try and avoid them and stuff like that. Yeah.
Is that a background vocalist thing where, like, every time I see background vocalists, I think, they really want to be at the front. Can you be content being a background vocalist?
Yes, because music, singing, is not just about being in front. Music is about understanding the business, you got to watch first and learn first.
Yeah.
So I, at the time, I was just happy to be singing on the stage. I was happy to be meeting the people I was meeting. I wasn't standing there thinking, oh man, I want it to be me. One, because I knew that the choices I was making, the areas I was getting into, that was going to be me one day.
Yeah.
But I think at that time, you're just happy to learn. You're happy to just be a part of someone else's journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dope. And insofar as starting out music at uni,
mm-hmm.
was there anything that you were afraid of when you were doing it? Were you like, oh, do I really want to do this? Were there apprehensions?
There were loads of things, but I think...
Because I guess, like, the reason why I asked...
Yes.
Sorry, is just because, you know, singing in your bedroom, singing in the bathroom is one thing, but then to take it to the world and take it to in front of people,
mm-hmm.
what was that like?
Crazy. Mm. I was so shy. Yeah. Like, as a person, generally, I used to be so shy. It's actually painful. So when it came to singing, and I remember... my friends filming me and showing me the videos afterwards, it was just so awful to watch. Like, I'd be shouting at the screen like, Ruth, move. Ruth, open your eyes.
Yeah.
Ruth, look up. So by looking at myself, I then push myself to be like, I'm not looking like that again.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just feel the fear and do it anyways. And I think that's one of the things that has got me to where I am today. You achieve one sort of hurdle, you jump over one hurdle, and then there's another set of fears, and then you overcome those. Yeah,
you face the fear, it gives you the courage to do it again and to do it again. It's so funny what you say about standing on stage and singing in front of people, because when you're doing it, you don't realise what your stature's like, how you look. Mm. Like you say, Roof, open your eyes, you've got to get people to... It's peak, man. It's peak. I too was doing similar stuff at uni. I look back and I'm like, I can't even listen to it. A lot of artists say that though about themselves.
Yeah.
Cool. So I remember seeing you at 6 Weeks Showcase. I think this was the first time I heard you.
Well, yeah.
This was when Sam invited us down, and it was just dope. There was like poetry. There was like, it was just sick. And you guys were just coming back on and supporting each other. It was like a collective.
Yeah.
And I remember looking it up and I was like, "Rah, who's this like East African Eritrean looking girl that's just riffing up and down the place?" Like, I was like, "Dang, she's dope." That's but then, so what's your actual cultural background?
Cause that's why I had to say looking, because I get that all the time. Mm. Somalians, they claim me. Mm. Eritreans, they claim me. And it just depends on how I have my hair, but my dad's Jamaican, my mum's Bajan, so I'm full Caribbean. Wow.
Repping out here. Repping. Sick. And so how did you go from uni into 6 Weeks, and how did your sound evolve?
Okay, so when I first came out of uni, I got gassed because someone approached me to be my manager. That wasn't the greatest decision, like, to go forth. Like, oh god. No shade.
There was shade up in there, boy.
Nothing to do with the person.
Okay.
Just that when you're young in the business and you don't know the business, getting a manager isn't always the best option.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So then that was like a 6 month thing. And I think I feel really bad now, but honestly, there's no shade because I met with him today.
Cool. Oh, you're still with Bridges. Okay, cool.
Anyways, moving on. I think I went to a show I was doing back of vocals for a friend called Kezia, who, shout out to Kezia. And she...
Is she Ghanaian?
She is.
There's a lot of Ghanaians called Kezia. It seems to be quite a popular name. Sorry, continue.
There was loads of 6 Weeks members there.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, after an event, you start following people on Twitter. Like, oh, yeah, you check out their stuff. So I hollered at one of the members of 6 Weeks, Mayanaka Charles, and I was like, hey, we should collaborate. And so he was like, yeah. And then so we hit it off. We collaborated on a song called What About Us on my SoundCloud. And then he was like, oh, I'm a part of this collective. You should come down. So I went, and it's been 2.5 years, three years.
Wow. Yeah. And you guys... as a collective, you meet... I think Sam was telling me something about you guys used to meet like every Monday or something like that, or still do. And just, what is it, like jam sessions, that kind of vibe?
It depends on what is happening at the time. So if there was a performance coming up, then there would be jams. Mostly like discussions, getting to know each other as well, because I feel like with a collective, it's like a family. You've got to know each other, you've got to, you know, chill. So it was a lot of that. We performed a lot together. We went to Scotland for the Fringe Festival. We performed out there. Went to Berlin with a couple of them as well to perform out there. So like different things. It's been cool. Nice. I've been very busy personally over the past say 6 months. So my attendance there has just been very scarce. But we've got a lot planned for the remainder of the year. Nice. So yeah.
And it's nice to be around creatives and you can all create and understand one another. That's good, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how would you say your sound has evolved since you first started to now?
Oh, it's evolved so much. When I first started making music, I didn't understand certain, like going to the studio and creating an EP that is live instrumentation versus electronic. I didn't understand that. So I'm coming from a place where I would always just perform live at open mic nights and stuff.
Okay.
So I prefer singing live than being in the studio.
Okay.
I think it's totally different understanding how your voice sounds, blah, 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 blah. So when I went to the studio, it's like, yeah, like I want keys, I want this and that and the other. And when I heard the sound, it wasn't what I remember growing up listening to in terms of the R&B and whatever that I wanted to achieve.
Okay.
I couldn't translate that to, you know, the engineer or the producer. Whereas after that and researching and listening and again looking at other people's things, I've then realised, oh, there's electronic sound, so there's that clear difference between the two projects.
Yeah.
Also, I started to fall in love with hip hop. I started experimenting with different genres of music for this particular project. And yeah, just tried to pull as much as I could together. Whereas the first one, I feel like it was very just in one box.
Okay.
And people put me in that box that I didn't plan for that to happen.
It does.
But that's just how it happened. But the new stuff, like people have really taken to it. And I'm happy that I was able to experiment.
You definitely did.
Yeah.
You definitely did.
Thank you.
It came out really nicely. I was listening to it at work. I was just like, dang. Ruth Ellen, you know, like.
Trying, man.
Trust me, man. It's fire. It's fire. So how would you describe your sound then to people now? If someone was to go, okay, why do I need to listen to Ruth Ellen? How would you describe your sound?
My friend described it to me, and I really liked what she came up with. Soft soul.
Soft soul.
Soft soul.
Yeah, soft soul.
Mm. Creating new genres out in here, boy.
You know?
Okay.
Because it's my voice on its own is very soulful. I can't get away from the vibrato and stuff. Mm. It's just there. And I have a very soft voice, but there's power. There's loads of power in it as well.
Speak on it.
So there's parts of my voice which I would say is angelic.
Jeez.
No, you lot are too much,
wow.
You know. I don't really know. Like, I often don't even like to be put into a box because there's, even now, there's different types of things that I'm experimenting with that you guys will hear in the future. And it's like, oh, she's this type of artist. But neo soul, I guess, would be where I would say, okay, yeah.
Neo soul there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Although someone the other day was like, no, you're not neo soul. It's subjective, to be honest.
It's quite an eclectic, especially with this project, it's quite eclectic, I'd say. But the vocal itself is probably lends itself to neo soul.
Neo soul, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's hear a little bit of it now.
Okay.
You're going to sing for us, Ruth.
Okay.
Put you on the spot,
yeah,
girl.
No.
tell us what you're going to sing for us.
So I'm going to sing Glow. Glow was the first like single from this LP. It was produced by my friend called Prospect.
Shout out
to Prospect, and he co-produced one of the other tracks. But this was, he basically over the past like 5 years since I've known him, he sends me over beats. He just makes beats for days, and he sends me over, and I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. I just sing to this song. All right, so this, and it's really helped me like find, you know, my love for hip hop. So I was so happy that it was able to fit with the rest of the project.
Yeah.
Because it just displayed something really different for my vocals. So yeah.
Nice, nice. Okay, cool. Well, this is Ruth Ellen with Glow.
Have a glow.
sky song. Spaces unaccounted for. 80 levels to this tower. I've numbered them floor by floor. My mind starts to wonder, how do I get out of this role? I just need the mind inside before I stumble and fall. So may your pathway ever glow, let the time and council tax fines. There are no funds on my Oyster card. I can't believe that this is my life. My mind starts to wonder, there's got to be more than this. It's a mystery and my teaser, but it doesn't define where I'm going. So may your pathway ever glow, yeah. Let go, let the truth be told, told. May your pathway ever glow.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was an amazing performance by Ruth Ellen. Should we give her another round of applause?
Thank you, guys.
Phenomenal. So. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. Your LP, Between Two Worlds.
Yeah.
What was the creative process behind making that project?
Okay, so just after the first project, so 2 years ago now, I fell in love. I fell out of love. I fell out of love with music. I fell out of love with a lot of things in life. A lot of things in life happened. And to get through those things, I started writing things down, like a diary, like an account. And then that kind of inspired a story that I'm writing. And then the stories of that chapter inspired the songs. The book, or the story, it's not finished. It's still just there because I'm not even a writer like that at all. But the songs are very much inspired by, that.
Could you give us a little insight into the book, the story? Yes?
No? Yeah, sure. So basically, it's basically about a queen or a girl who doesn't actually realise that they're a queen, mainly because there are so many responsibilities as like in life that she has to kind of heed to, as well as show face as a queen and protect her country, look after her, you know, and just doing everything, and so that person doesn't actually understand that regardless of what stage of life you're at, we're royalty, and that's how we can move forward, and that's how we can reach our dreams, and how we can, you know, do all of the above. So, yeah.
That's a nice little segue into your song called Queening with Shantae Fuller. Listen, she got bars. Shantae got bars.
She does. Big up Shantae.
I've got a move.
Like, what was your reasoning behind writing that song? Because I got the feeling that it was a song of empowerment. What did it mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely, empowerment. Obviously, it says Queening, but it's for anybody who just believes that no matter what we're going through, there's a certain walk that we kind of have to have. A lot of this music thing for me, I've faked it to make it. And I think that's how we have to kind of take life sometimes. Sometimes there's no money in our bank account. Sometimes our Oyster card is empty. Sometimes there is no food in the fridge.
Speak on it.
But no one has to know that. Obviously, I've just told you. But like, no one has to know that that's the problem, because what I put out and what I profess has to be towards what I'm trying to achieve, or what I will be. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone, we all got to live our truth. See, I'm a king in my village, innit?
That's right.
So, you know, I've got to start acting like a king.
Like a king.
You know, so
like
I got to start calling Uber more often.
Yeah.
Yeah. there'll
be less money in the bank.
Do you know what I mean? Don't be silly about it. Like, live within your means.
Yeah, live within your means. Kinging.
Okay. My favorite track, 4040 Home.
Oh, cool.
Had a very old school R&B feel to it. I mean, like, I'm a huge R&B fan.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's what I really grew up on. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know, who are your musical influences?
Mm. Okay. Tweet. I love Tweet. Chrisette Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I've seen her in person. She's actually just breathtaking. Music,
she is buff.
Music Soul Child. Music Soul Child, I just love him. My mind is proper blank right now.
Someone said I look like Music Soul Child. I actually got quite angry. I think I'm quite angry, to be honest. But anyway, we won't speak
on
that.
You know what? Yeah,
don't even please. Let's not.
Do you agree with them, Max?
I don't agree with it. I'll have the voice, but I won't. Okay. I won't. I just know. You weren't.
You kind of do.
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's just a lighting. That's all.
That's all it is.
Do you know what I mean?
The shade is in my ear, man. Like, light skin. Oh yeah, you look like this guy. You look like J. Cole. You look like. No, I don't.
Would you say that you base the music that you create off any of your influences, or would you say you just take a bit from everybody and, you know, make it your own?
Yeah, I think.
Come on, some good questions, you know.
Yeah, well done. Fire. It's good. I feel like I listen to a lot of things and I take what I can. There was a phase where you do try and imitate people to kind of see if you can do that run, for sure. I think I did that with Chrisette Michelle. Her runs are crazy. But in terms of the creative process, you kind of have to put yourself away. There's a time to listen and there's a time to develop like your own sort of thing. So. It's 50-50, yeah.
Sounded like King Solomon, boy. Time to sow, time to read, time to listen, time to do your own thing. It's true.
I believe in seasons, so...
Yeah. Real talk. Is it a... When it comes to the creative process, how do you go about structuring your project? So how do you... Is it a mood? Obviously, you've talked about the story and that you're writing, which influences it a lot, but in terms of sound, like, where do you go? Do you have a lot of producers around you that just send you stuff, like, you know?
No, I wouldn't say I have a lot of producers. I mean, Prospect has been the main person that would send me over things.
Okay.
But for this project, I worked with overall the executive producer, I would say, Andre Fisher, and we kind of was in the studio. I showed him things I liked, the musical influences, sang the songs to him. He got chords to them, and then he sort of like did his magic, and then I was like, actually, no, I don't like this, or yeah, I do like this, I want more of this, or actually, you know, this type of thing. So yeah, what was your question again?
Very collaborative. So yeah, it's a collaborative process.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
it's all good.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. Cool. In terms of the artists that inspire you, just going back to that,
mm-hmm.
So do you listen to these artists a lot? I know you said there's a time to listen, there's a time to do your thing,
mm-hmm.
but again, how much does that influence your body of music?
Okay.
Would you say that there's someone out there whose career you're trying to emulate?
I think yes and no, but for different reasons. So like, I'll look at Solange for her visual like representation.
No one compares.
Oh.
Huh? No one compares. She's
We're not gonna have that argument. Continue.
Bro, what do you have?
No, continue.
Who do you think's better than Solange? Do you think someone's better than Solange?
What, music?
Visually. Like
artistically at the moment. Erykah Badu.
That's her mentor, actually.
That's
her mentor. So.
Alright. Yeah.
Fair enough. No comment.
But then I'd look at Chrisette for like certain things that she's done with her marketing. And then I'd look at, there's someone called Messina. You should go and check out Messina. I'll send you her stuff later. Yeah, she's dope. And she produces her own stuff. She produces all her own samples. And I've listened to her body of work over and over again just to hear how she's able to keep up her work rate but still have all of these songs that you can like listen to and really hear that they're different but still have her sound. So like, there's loads of different people that I will look at and take different things from them.
Dope.
For sure. I think if anyone says that they don't, they're lying.
You lying.
Yeah. Basically. Because we take inspiration from each other, like true. Other singers. Being around 6 weeks as well, like that's been very helpful. And it's not just singers in 6 weeks, there's rappers, there's poets, and it's really good to look at, you know, how they're doing things and seeing how I can incorporate that with my brand. But certain things that you would try and copy from others, it doesn't sit with your brand, it doesn't go with your brand, so there's no point trying to force it. So yeah.
Do you write all your songs yourself?
Yes, I did co-write for some of the songs. So I co-wrote Glow and I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the songs I write.
I want to go back to the title of your LP, Between Two Worlds. Now, I want to take a stab at what I think it means.
Yes.
Yeah? All right, cool. So, I think that the two worlds are... Okay, so you got the world, you know, where we are right now. That's the world, innit? And then the studio is the other world. So, would you say that... Mm. Is that a good description of the title?
Is... No.
Oh. Wow.
Coming from like what I sat down and was like, oh, this is my thought process. But I love the fact that that is like what you've taken from it, because there's so many things that people could take from it. Someone said, oh, is it heaven and earth? Like, you know,
that's what I thought. Wow, I thought it was a heaven and earth thing.
It's mad. Like, there's so many different things. But one of the main life issues that happened was I realized I was suffering from anxiety. I don't know if you've ever had any sort of mental encounter like that before, but one day you're good and you feel like all of your visions and dreams are reachable. You know exactly what you need to do to get them. Like, it's all cool. The next day, somehow, all of the pressures of life
come crashing down.
And my head was spinning. My head is having all these questions and getting confused. And suddenly I'm having a panic attack. So I literally found myself living between two worlds, because on the outside as well, people are looking at me and it's like, yeah, like, oh yeah, you're doing so well, all of this stuff. But really and truly, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not really sure about myself. I don't really, I'm not sure where I'm going. I was just telling someone the other day, I was at a gig last week, and I was telling the audience that I actually feel very quite disconnected from this project now, because I wrote it a couple of years ago, and now I don't really have those sort of same issues anymore. So there's been progression, which is amazing. So, yeah.
Okay, talk a bit more on that. with, because for people that are, you know, we're hearing a lot about mental health, and it was just Mental Health Awareness Week and stuff, and we're seeing it come up a lot more in the music scene. So you're getting a lot of artists that talk about suffering from depression. Stormzy's talked about it. Kendrick Lamar references it in his new project. Like, it's coming up a lot more, and it seems like the stigma with anxiety, or whether it be depression or whatever the mental issue is, we're now having open conversations about it. What's it like being in two worlds? Like, literally, what is that like?
And how did you get over it as well?
What it's like is,
like, do you tell your family about it? Do you tell your friends, close friends?
At first, no, I didn't tell my family about it. It's very isolating. It's funny, because you feel isolated, but the last thing you want to do is tell somebody. Yep. Doesn't make sense, but but after a while, because I've written about it, people ask me questions. Talking about it helps. Talking, like, literally when I'm introducing the song, having an interview and talking about it, it's been very therapeutic for me. So being honest and open with myself has allowed me to overcome. Again, writing things down, writing how I'm feeling. I had this box, what the doctors would call a worry box, but I've called it a prayer box. Amen.
I knew that was going to be the title.
But they actually legitimately said, yeah, just write down all your worries, and no. You need to reverse your mindset. So now I do write down what I'm worried about, but then I speak the opposite of what I'm worried about, and that has really got me through.
Yeah,
it's
I'm getting gassed listening to it.
I'm not one to, like, be preachy, but I was in a very low place, and literally I had to reverse how I'm thinking through words. Words are very powerful. So yeah, how did I overcome? Yeah, through writing and speaking truth.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I was talking to someone about this the other day, about how important it is to love yourself, in the sense of, be patient with yourself, be kind to yourself. Don't kind of, if you're sitting in a hopeless situation, it doesn't make sense to sit there feeling hopeless, hopeful things. Like, you're talking about prayer, and I guess coming from that kind of Christian aspect, you know, the Bible talks about love, hope in all things and believe in all things. And if we have dreams and we have visions and we have all of these things, no matter what it looks like in the current circumstance, we have to believe and we have to hope. It's the only thing you can really do. So
this is it.
That's nice, man. So writing things down helps. So writing it down for the tracks and stuff, that was a therapeutic.
Yeah, I mean, like, just writing things down generally.
Yeah.
But for the inspiration for the songs, going back to those and drawing out, you know, those keywords or whatever. Yeah.
You have to give it up to artists, you know, because you guys go through things. You write songs about it, and then you perform it in front of everyone to judge and review. It's crazy.
I got a question. Is that you? I don't know. As an artist, is that like your type of therapy? You know, writing it and then singing about it in front of people, does that help?
Yeah, I mean, not to say singing it in front of people, but singing it, and because I'm in the music business, singing it in front of people. But you'd be surprised how much it's actually helping people. It's a win-win situation, because other people, when I've sung a song or I've told them a story surrounding the song, and they come to me just like, oh, like, yeah, I can really relate to that, or oh yeah, I know how you're feeling because I've been suffering from depression and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, whoa, I didn't try to sign up for this, but it's great that something that I've been through is, you know, helping someone else. So, yeah.
Don't. Well, we are going to get into another track. We are going to... In fact, Ruth, tell us, what you going to sing for us, girl?
I'm going to sing 40-40 Home.
Yes.
Jeez.
Childhood memory game. That was my favourite game growing up, 40-40 Home.
What area are you from again?
I live in the Greenwich Borough. Okay. I used to live in Charlton.
Bang, bang, gang, gang.
And then moved to Eltham. Okay, so I used to play a lot in Charlton.
I think it's a South game, you know.
It is, you know. Yeah, because it's called something else, like, in North and East and that. Like, you say 40-40 Home and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, them are weird.
But yeah, 40/40 home and knock down Ginger.
Did you know we've knocked down Ginger? Actually, supposed to knock down a ginger person if a ginger person answers the door.
Really?
I heard about this.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, but you don't run away. If you wait and you see, and if they're ginger, you knock them down.
Sorry, fun fact. Yeah, rules. Fun fact. This was year.
Did you know what I mean?
Yeah, Russell, honestly.
This is year 8. I'm not proud of this year.
Oh, my days.
It was either year 7 or year 8. Confession. I was with my friends. This was Halloween, and we TP'd someone's house.
What's TP? What, the toilet paper?
Yeah, toilet paper. Yeah, and then we ran away.
Can you imagine?
In it, whatever.
That's
yeah,
that happened. You know?
I was 14.
That's what happens when you live in Charlton, 14. Boy. That's whatever, man.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, being young, there's carefree days. So take me back there, basically. Sweet.
Well, this is Ruth Ellen with 40/40 Home.
Take a nice stroll through Rupel Park Estate. Boys game in a five-a-side match of football. Hanging out now, but probably not too late. 'Cause mother's got a nice meal waiting on the table. No, it wasn't always bleak, you know. We weren't so responsible. We've been wild and free for sure. Calling 40/40 home. We were never really popular, but your girl's been dreaming. We were gonna rule the world, and I'm still climbing, yay. Yeah. I see it every time I close my eyes. No question of my mind, I'm gonna rise. My faith is strong today, knowing I've tried. With every day comes another chance. Things are popping off, so I better go and knock for rain. I'ma take a detour and a quick stop at the sweet shop. No, it won't be long till we all go our separate ways and take on the craziness of this life. No, it wasn't always bleak, you know. Wish we stayed the same. We weren't so responsible. But at least that's how it seemed. I see it every time I close my eyes. No question of my mind, I'm gonna rise. My faith is strengthening, knowing I've tried. With every day comes a
that was 40/40 Home, another amazing performance.
Thank you.
Right, so now it's time for our fire round section.
Okay.
Right, we've got a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Solange, Erica, or Chrisette Michelle?
Mate, why?
Because.
Based on what?
Based on who's better?
Oh, okay. Erica, because she's legend.
Legend, okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. What album are you currently listening to?
Ray Louise, DN Me.
A song that you never get bored of.
Gorgeous by Messina.
Okay. I need to check this Messina lady out. Shit. Okay. You spoke about hip hop earlier. Who's your favourite hip hop artist?
J. Cole.
Okay. Jay-Z or Nas?
Nas.
Okay, we're going to fight later.
Yes,
who is the most influential person in your life?
Oh. Can I just say my family?
Yeah, you can say your family.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. And last question, when is your next live performance?
Oh, matting. Okay. Oh, I've got a few though. Oh.
Hey, this is the time to promo.
Okay, cool. So my next personal one that I'm putting on, I put on a bi-monthly show called Ruth Ellen and Friends.
Okay.
And that's sort of just promoting the LP, and that's on the 9th of June. Mm-hmm. And everything will be on my website, www.itsruthellen.com. But my next show, I'm going to be opening for my friend Shantae Fuller. Mm-hmm. She's releasing her EP in 2 weeks. So that's the 1st of June.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she's got her 1st of June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to be on the show soon. I'm going to be there.
Cop your tickets, guys.
Cop your tickets. Cop your tickets. Sweet. Cool. Okay. So that was our fire round. Ruth, a quick few questions. Mm-hmm. So, who do you write music for?
Okay. Might sound selfish, but me.
Okay. At least it's honest.
Yeah. Me, people who might have, you know, been in similar situations as me, people like me. But me.
Oh, you yourself. And when people listen to your music, what are the key things you want them to take away from your sound?
I just in terms of the message or from just to be encouraged, really. I want to brighten up people's days. In fact, no, who I write for is my sister. Okay. Actually, because she's been through a lot of things, so I write a lot of my songs for her to cheer her up. So yeah, when people listen to my music, I want them to, you know, think that they can face a problem, or, you know, yeah.
Dope. And what inspires you to write the most?
People's life stories. I'm gonna leave it there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'll just ramble.
You can feel free.
But yeah, I love meeting people. I love learning about people, hearing, you know, where they're coming from and what they're aspiring to. That inspires me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Those were my questions.
You wanted to ask me about Melodic or something?
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, on the EP, you've got a track called Mellow Down, and that was with Lexa Moore. She actually retweeted us the first time that we ever posted something.
Woo!
That picture that we posted of the soundboard in my room,
really,
she retweeted it. I remember she had a Melodic show, and I used to tune into it at work, and I remember the conversation you and her having.
Wait, wasn't she on is she on Represent?
Yes, she is. So I remember that conversation you guys were having, and then it was nice to hear that again on this project.
Sure.
And you were talking about purpose and what you think purpose is like. Mm-hmm. So at the point, we have a series called The Pursuit of Passion.
Okay.
Where we get people on to talk about their purpose and their passion and why they're pursuing it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think your purpose is as an artist, firstly, and how important is it for you to pursue your purpose as well?
Okay, so my purpose as an artist, I think most recently I've really come to terms with the fact that it's more than music. It's not solely about singing. It's about being willing to make an impact regardless. So I might wake up tomorrow and feel that see a particular need for something, and just because I'm willing, that
meet that need,
and that may or may not be through music, but it's important that I'm using my gift regardless. So we're all on this earth, we all have a purpose with that, but I think willingness is like 80% of it.
So seeing a need and being willing to meet that. For the person who maybe doesn't feel like they're pursuing their purpose, because you hear that question a lot these days, what's my purpose in life, what am I supposed to be doing? And you get it a lot with our generation especially. What would you say to that person in terms of finding out what their purpose is?
I'd say not to overthink it, because before I realised what my purpose was, I was actually doing it and living it. But you kind of overlook what you're doing, and you think, oh, it's got to be something massive, it's got to be what people can see. But actually, when I started looking internally and was away in the quiet and having my time away from the buzz of things, that's where I found, oh, look, I'm actually doing this. I have a love for people, and that's what I carry with me every day. And yeah, so it can be the simplest thing. Like, I feel like we tend to overcomplicate things. But as long as what you're doing it with an honest heart and stuff, then you know you're living your purpose.
That's beautiful. It's simple. You ain't gonna go around looking for it.
You got it
with you. It's encouraging. Sweet. Cool.
So, Ruth, where can the people find you?
You can find me on www.itsruthellen.com. My latest project is on all major downloading streaming sites, so iTunes, Spotify, what's the Tidal? It's on there.
Are you on Tidal? Okay.
Yeah.
You're on Tidal?
It's basically, you just sign up to like a thing, and they put it on all of the platforms. Okay. Basically.
So, you're on TuneCore, aren't you? Are you on TuneCore?
It's something like TuneCore, yeah.
Something like
TuneCore.
Okay, yeah. You know about it.
But if all else fails, just go to www.itsruthellen.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's been Afo, Mike.
And Mike. Mike.
I said
your name, bro.
Yeah. It's been The Point. Thank you for listening.
It's Ruth Ellen.
Thanks for having me.